I find it fascinating that you played pretty much in an option style offense your whole high school career. Mm-hmm. And then you end up in pretty much the exact opposite style of offense when you come to college. Take me through that recruiting journey and how we found you, because mm-hmm. on paper, an option quarterback is not somebody that's going to immediately jump out on, you know, Chris Needham's scouting sheet. Like, what was kind of that process like? And, you know, what interaction did you have with our coaching staff mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to come to a camp here, or I'm going to eventually commit here?
Yeah. So I started on varsity my junior and senior year of high school. So my junior year is kind of the COVID season. And so we didn't have a whole lot of, we played like seven games, I think. And, you know, there was nobody really at our games or yeah. anything, but I hadn't had any college attention or anything before that because, you know, there weren't any camps here before with COVID and everything. And I didn't really understand how camps work, to be honest. I thought it was, you know, you go to this camp and they kind of teach you how to get better. I didn't realize it was something to get recruited for, because at that point, playing college ball wasn't really something that I had, you know, really thought about. So after my junior year, then my head coach from high school is like, you should make a highlight tape. You know, I can send it to coaches, because he knew a lot of coaches in the area, a lot of the D2, D3 guys. And so got that out there. And then Coach Murphy, our old running yep. backs coach, yeah, he was the first one. He was recruiting Wisconsin. He's from Tomahawk. He reached out to me and was sending me, you know, their junior day stuff, and all their junior day visits were online that year yeah. because of COVID. So this was the beginning of 2021. and so he sent me these junior days, and it was like, you know, Coach Lockway kind of talking through the recruiting process, which I thought was kind of interesting, because there's these coaches from one school, you know, telling me, like, if I get an offer from a different school, this is how I should handle it. So mm-hmm. right away that kind of jumped out at me, and that, you know, they weren't just worried about getting us to come play here, which obviously, you know, they want to do, but they're looking out for the people that they're recruiting and making mm-hmm. sure that even if they don't end up here, they're still, you know, understanding the process of getting a scholarship and you know, committing to a school and everything. And right. so then throughout that next summer, I started going to camp. So I went to the NDSU camp, and that was the first time I met Coach Lockway, and he was running the pocket escape QB drills, I think, and he was there himself running at us yep. and forcing us to scramble out. And so I thought that was funny, and he was really into it, like kind of hyping us up and everything. And so, you know, right away for my first interaction with Lockway, I kind of understood, you know, the way that he is, like, you know, he's just loves football, loves helping people get better yeah. and really cares about his players a lot.
So you get here fall of 22 mm-hmm. freshman year.
Yep.
Immediately come in Tommy Faulks, the starting quarterback at the time. What was the biggest learning curve for you coming in as a true freshman? One, not knowing if you were going to see time on the field, and two, coming from a different style of offense to, you know, what we run here at MSUM, where it's a lot of pass heavy, a mm-hmm. Lot of wide receivers out on the field, maybe sets where you don't have a running back, don't have a tight end, don't have a fullback, that sort of stuff. What was the biggest learning curve for you coming in as a freshman to learn that offense? Because obviously it's different terminology, it's different schematics, a whole different kind of world for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of figuring out, obviously, the plays at first and knowing, you know, maybe which side of the field I'm looking to on a certain concept and coming back to something else, which I never really had read progressions or anything in high school. And so kind of having to learn that almost on the fly going through yep. camp and then into the season. I would say, and then like kind of, I guess, diagnosing coverages and stuff too, which I didn't really understand too much of my freshman year. I was kind of just out there winging it and making yeah. plays. Probably, yeah, just learning all the plays and everything, because there was a lot more, like, a lot of nuances, especially with all the option routes that we do.
Yeah.
So kind of having to get on time with the receivers, you know, whether they're going to be breaking to the post or breaking to the corner, you know, got to figure out each guy, you know, based on different leverage and stuff, you know, yeah. what they're going to do, so.
And freshman year, I believe it was fourth or fifth game in, that Winona State game is the first time where you took some snaps. It might have even been the Augie game mm-hmm. in there. But first start, I should say, is probably that Winona State game.
Yep.
Going into that game week, I mean, can you take me back to that sort of meeting with Lockway, with Check, saying, you're going to be the guy that we're going to go with as a true freshman, 18-year-old kid mm-hmm. who, like you just said, had one scholarship offer. I mean, didn't know if you were going to play football in college. What was kind of running through your mind when that opportunity gets presented to you and against a Winona team who's, you know, obviously prototypically pretty good?
Yeah. So I guess during fall camp, I'd met with Coach Lockway a couple times, and he told me, you know, first I was going to be traveling. I probably wasn't going to, because I was back when they still had the, if you played any snaps yep. at all, you didn't have a red shirt.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, we'd be okay burning your red shirt, you know, like if something happened to Tom, if he had gotten hurt, they could have put me in there. And he said they would feel okay about that. So I kind of knew at some point I might be seeing action. Then against Augie at the end of the game, you know, I was kind of going for three series and there goes your red shirt. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was figuring, you know, I'm probably going to end up playing a little bit more, you know, maybe just certain drives and quarter, maybe here and there. I wasn't sure how they're going to play it. And then I think the next Monday, we had practice in the afternoon, and I took all the reps with the ones, the starting offense. And then after practice, Coach Lockway told me that I was going to be starting against Winona. And so that part was definitely a surprise to me. Like, I wasn't really sure what to expect after that. And, you know, going into that game, that was a very good Winona defense. Mm-hmm. And definitely I was not quite ready to play them. Definitely a good welcome to college football moment.
Yeah.
Had a couple of them in that game.
And talk to me about the impact that Tommy had on you throughout your career. Obviously, he graduated after last year, mm-hmm. but I think, you know, he showed a lot of poise in saying you took the reins. You know, Tommy Faulk was no slouch, right? Like, I think Tommy Faulk still has the NSIC record for completion percentage in a game. Like,
yep.
You know, still a really good quarterback. Can you talk about the relationship that you guys have had over the course of up until his graduation and kind of what he's meant to you as a quarterback and kind of understanding the system a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about Tom and just everything that he's done for me and, you know, kind of finding himself in that position. And, you know, he could have just been, you know, I'm going to transfer because, you know, I was playing, I'm not. He decided to stick it out here, and I think it says so much about him and who he is as a person. And he's just a good dude. And, you know, he was always a guy who was going to push you in the weight room. He's going to try to make you do more weight. He's going to push himself to make you get pushed. And so, and then just, you know, everything on the field too, like watching as much film as the starter and, you know, telling us what he was seeing and that kind of thing. And then during games, like, you know, kind of being that guy on the sideline I'd come to and maybe get an earful or something. And he'd kind of take me aside and be like, you know what, it's all right. Just calm down. You know, you got going to go out there for the next series. And, you know, this is what I saw. This is, you know, what you can do. And I mean, all just the off the field stuff too. Like, and he's still one, even though he's graduated now, he's still one of my best friends, guy that I talk to, you know, text him all the time. And, you know, our meetings, we'd be scheduled to meet for half an hour. We'd talk about football for half an hour, and then we'd just talk about life for an hour. So all sorts of different things. But yeah, I mean, Tommy has been a huge help to me and definitely like one of the people that I wouldn't be in the position I am without him.
Yeah. And, you know, take me through from freshman to sophomore year, there's obviously a huge leap in your performance. Was it just more reps, seeing more coverages, seeing more defenses throughout your freshman year that kind of led into the success that you saw in your sophomore year? I mean, set pretty much every major single season record that this school has. I mean, what kind of changed from year one to year two to come out in that first game? Who did we even play that first game? Wayne State. Mm-hmm. And I mean, almost came back and won that game.
Yep.
And then obviously there's numerous other instances, that Sioux Falls homecoming game where we mm-hmm. scored 53 points in 17 minutes or whatever it was, like just ridiculous things happening that sophomore year. What kind of changed in your mindset and maybe your preparation a little bit to see that success? Mm-hmm.
I think like that off season, I just really started getting into film and watching, you know, other teams, other quarterbacks and seeing, you know, kind of the way that they handled the offense, the way that they threw like their footwork and stuff. And I think that definitely helped me just mentally, you know, really start to figure some things out between year one and year two. And I think just going through spring ball and, you know, taking the majority of the reps, I guess, getting more reps and with the receivers and, you know, the O-line and the running backs and everything, kind of just starting to form a better relationship with them. And, you know, I mean, the guys that we had out there on the field in 2023 it was a pretty special group. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Biebs, obviously, you know, he's graduated now, but had a big year for us. Gage, obviously, and Brady and Madden and Carter, you know, they were big for us that year and kind of made my job easy. Mm-hmm. So being able to throw to those guys and just being able to start trusting them more through all the reps that we did and the work that we put in the off season, I would credit a lot of it to just the guys around me for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking a lot about the athletic side of things, but I think what people don't recognize is that you're a standout student too. I mean, an engineering physics major, a lot of accolades on the academic side. Take me through your decision-making process in choosing that major, because, I mean, when I say engineering physics, I'm sure everybody listening to this is saying, well, that can't be very easy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of math, a lot of science, mm-hmm. a lot of application that goes into that. I mean, what was kind of your thought process in choosing that major?
Yeah, so kind of all my life, I've been really interested in space and spaceships. So kind of getting into high school, I was like, you know, I'm kind of trying to figure out, you know, what I want to do. And I mean, always something I was interested in. So I was kind of just looking up fields that were kind of related to space flight and like designing spaceships and airplanes and everything. And I found aerospace engineering. So kind of throughout high school, that was my goal, is I wanted to get into aerospace engineering. And it's kind of a niche engineering field. Yeah. You know, it's not offered at a ton of places. And so not offered here, unfortunately. So I got into engineering physics because I figured, you know, it's kind of just a broad engineering field. I can kind of get some experience in a lot of different things, you know, taking a lot of physics classes, a lot of math classes, like you said, and some chemistry classes and stuff like that. And so, you know, getting my undergrad, I think in engineering physics, it'll kind of open up some different opportunities that maybe, you know, I can get a job right away, or I can go on to grad school and get a more specific graduate degree.
Right. And, you know, talking about your junior season last year, go 6-5, I believe 4 come from behind wins in that season. A lot of, you know, up and down heart rates for our team last year. I mean, take me through some of your big moments, because, you know, we talked about your sophomore year of you setting single season records, et cetera. But, you know, from a team perspective last year, 2 ranked wins. I believe they're the first under Coach Lockway in his tenure. Huge wins over big time programs like Duluth and Augustana. Obviously came back to beat Minot and beat Concordia St. Paul too as well on the road. Talk about the grit of that team last year, because I think it was on full display in those moments where, you know, we're tied with Duluth and Lockway decides to go for 2. Mm-hmm. And, or just, you know, just moments like that. I mean, talk to me about what the mindset of the team was in those moments, because I do know that, you know, you guys were might have been down, but you guys were never out. I know. Yep. that was the similar mindset, but kind of how did you guys kind of formulate that as the season went on?
Yeah, I mean, it was just the group that we had last year was a great group of guys, and, you know, a lot of them were similar to or the same guys that we've had in previous years, and, you know, just have grown, gotten better as players, more mature. And so kind of being in those situations, you know, we were in them in 2023. You know, we had the Wayne game, obviously, that we weren't quite able to come back. The Augie game, we couldn't come back. The Cato game was close the entire time, and we just couldn't pull it out at the end. And so we had been in those situations. We kind of knew what to expect. Like, in the Duluth game, we were down 15 with, there's a couple minutes left.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how many it was.
Like,
yeah.
Remember,
and so, we were like, you know, we've been in situations like this before, you know, we're just gonna, you know, we gotta go score one time. So we went down and scored, got the 2-point conversion to go down 7. Defense got a big stop. We got the ball back, and, you know, just a group of guys that really dug deep. And I credit it, you know, to the offseason training, the grind that we put in, you know, because we had 17 plays in about a minute and a half on that last drive. And it's a lot of running for a lot of guys. The receivers, you know, we got to take shots with that little time remaining. And so they're running all over the place. The O-line's getting tired. They're doing a great job busting their bus to protect me, give me time to throw. And so, yeah, just a group of guys that love each other, are willing to dig deep, and just find a way to get the job done at the end. I'd say, you know, it's similar in the Augustana game too. It's a little bit different. You know, we weren't down the entire time. It wasn't
back
a big
and forth. Back
it was
and forth
very
game,
back
yeah.
and forth game. Yeah, it's kind of a strange game when you look back
for
at
sure.
it, because we were up. I think we were up 10 rip at the beginning, and then they came back and scored a couple times, and kind of just throughout the second half is just each team dealing punches to the other, and found ourselves down 1. With a little bit of time left, and went down and kicked the field goal. I think it was 43-41, and then defense came up big on the last drive, getting a pick. And, you know, same thing happened against Minot. We kind of scored towards the end, and defense came up big, got a fumble, I think, at some point, got a fourth down stop. And, yeah, so it's really just a group of guys that refused to ever give up. And kind of knowing that we have that mindset, any situation that we found ourselves in is, you know, we never thought it was undoable.
Yeah. And obviously following your junior year, the questions arise, you know, is Jack going to stay? Is Jack going to go in this era of college athletics? It's, you know, and to say, I don't think anybody's ever said this to you, but anybody in this building wouldn't have blamed you if you did leave, right? But you chose to stay. What about this program? What about this university made you want to stay? Because I do think that, you know, that decision speaks volumes, especially, like I just said, in this era of athletics where mm-hmm. it is easy and it is, you know, can be transactional at times. What about this program kept you here and kept you grounded here?
Yeah, I mean, the entire culture that Coach Lockway's built here and everything that we do, you know, as a football program is just based on love that we have for our teammates and the relationships that we build. And, you know, that goes obviously in football games, but outside of football too. You know, we have our team meetings and we have these deep conversations with each other, like trying to get to know each other. Cause you know, if you know certain things about a person, you know, you might be able to relate to them in a certain way. And so I think just kind of having the love for everybody here. And, you know, we haven't had guys that leave and transfer in. Like some schools, they'll bring in 25 new guys, have 25 guys leave, and they got half their rosters guys that they've, you know, known for a couple months before mm-hmm. they start playing games with them. And so the guys that we have here that have been here for a long time, you know, we haven't had guys leave and we haven't had new guys coming in. It's just been the same consistent group of guys, you know, willing to go in, put the work in, day out through, you know, the dark days of the winter and the summer, you know, those tough workouts that we got in spring ball, obviously. Just guys that they keep getting better every day and, you know, that really love each other.
And take me through your thought process in the tweet that you had, because I think that obviously had got some traction on Twitter, the Nick Saban meme mm-hmm. that you posted alongside it. Yeah. And I remember when I first saw it, I was like, Jack Strand really just tweeted that. I was like, I don't mean this as an insult, but I was like, that's kind of out of character for Jack a little bit to say something like that. But obviously it was, you reached a point where you had heard enough of the buzz around it and you just wanted to put it to bed. I mean, what was kind of your thought process in tweeting that out and saying, this is my definitive mm-hmm. statement here?
Yeah, I think it was just some interview with Lockley and he was getting asked about it. And I'm like, man, I mean, I've been asked this so many times over the last couple of years and like every time it's been the same exact answer that I've given. So I'm like, I kind of just thought, you know, the Nick Saban interview, I don't even remember what question he's asked, but he's like I'm not going to, so quit asking.
It was like a Tua and Jalen, Jalen Hurts type of question or whatever it was.
But, and so I think I texted Coach Check about it after and I was like, I kind of want to quote tweet this with that, with that GIF. And he's like, yeah, and I think, that'd be funny, but I think this is a great opportunity to, you know, really give a shout out to what this program means to you. Mm-hmm. So instead of just tweeting the GIF of Nick Saban out, I you know, give a little write up about, you know, the guys that we have, kind of what we just talked about, right. The guys that we have here, the culture and the love that we have for our teammates. I think actually it stemmed from Lockway was saying something about throwing the ball 60 times a game here and how we're not gonna be able to do that, or how, you know, you can't do that anywhere else. And I'm like, you know, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing, you know, and not something that I get anywhere else, but you know, it's more about just being able to go in, day out with the same guys that I love and put the work in. And yeah.
And what precedent do you think that sets for the future of this program? Because I think when you have true freshmen that are, you know, this is their third week on campus right now, they're going through fall camp and they're seeing guys like you, they're seeing guys like Gage, Jacob Brocious, these upperclassmen that have been here for 4 or 5 years. What type of precedent do you think that sets to them and what kind of standard do you kind of want to illustrate to them mm-hmm. In that regard?
Yeah, I think, showing really what this program is about, and it's like, it's not a place that, you know, if you aren't going to buy into the culture here of, you know, loving your teammates and, you know, willing to do anything for them, you know, you're probably not going to fit in real great. And so kind of making sure that guys understand that that's kind of the standard here, is that you really, you know, you got to be willing to put in the work for the guys around you, not just for yourself. You know, you can't just be caring about your own stats or getting your own awards or anything, which, you know, that'll come for certain people, but it doesn't come for everybody. And we have a lot of guys that have been here for a long time that, you know, they maybe haven't seen on-field results or media attention, whatever. And, you know, those guys mean just as much to the program as anybody. You know, they're kind of the backbone of what our program's built on. They're the guys that, you know, they're not getting attention, but they're still coming in, doing the workouts, pushing themselves and pushing their teammates to get them better. So kind of setting that standard and showing everybody that comes in here that that's kind of what they have to do in order to make it.
And you brought up, you know, I think over the course of the last 3-4 years, this program has probably gotten more buzz and more media attention than it has prior. How do you guys handle expectations? Because I know there's a lot of outside chatter, a lot of outside things that you guys are seeing on social media, in the news, whatever. How do you guys go about handling expectations when, you know, you guys just want to be in the room together and, you know, figure out what, mm-hmm. what you're doing from a, you know, football perspective, I guess?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, like, Coach Lockway, he's always kind of big on, you know, ignore the noise from the outside, and kind of we know what we're capable of, and so anything that we hear from the outside is, like, it's not going to affect us, whether it's a positive or a negative thing. Like, we know what we can do as a program. We know we can win games. We can be a playoff team if we put in the work for it. And so just making sure that, you know, we focus on what we believe we can do and what we can control rather than listening to the outside noise. And I think, you know, we as players, you know, we'll make sure that if there's a guy that's kind of focusing on that, you know, making sure we bring him back to, you know, just focusing on the team, focus on the guys around you. And Coach Lockley is always great about that too, for sure.
Yeah. And I think just kind of the unsung hero of this whole process with you and your career is Justin Check. And I want to give you the opportunity to talk about what he's meant to you, both as a player and as a person, because you guys share a really special bond, I think. And I think people can see that from the exterior, but kind of peel back the layers a little bit on that and kind of what he's meant to you over the course of the last 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, so Check's from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, which is about 20 minutes south of Bloomer, Wisconsin, which is my hometown. So we grew up real close to each other and didn't know who he was or anything until I got here. But I think just kind of from the start, like the relationship that we've had, it's been more of a friendship than it's been a player coach relationship. And, you know, he still happens to be my coach and I happen to be playing for him. But I think just kind of what the relationship that we've been able to build, it's been huge. Like, you know, it goes way beyond, you know, just being on the football field. Like, I'll go to him with stuff that I got going on in my life. He'll come to me with stuff that he has going on in his life. And, you know, from that, you know, in that way, it's definitely just more of a friendship, and kind of the bond that we've been able to build, you know, outside of football has been really special.
Talk to me about the embarrassment of riches that we have at the wide receiver position. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit ago. We're really the only program in the country that is able to throw the ball 60 plus times a game. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side of that, we have a Gage Florence, a Madden Thorson, a Brady Perryman, Carter Bierenkot, Kelly Johnson, Denzel Slott. There's so many names in that room. Talk about how special this group could be in terms of just talent level alone and on paper. There's a lot of really good pass catchers that you have at your disposal.
Yeah, I always say it makes my job really easy being able to throw to guys and, you know, guys that I've been playing with for a long time too. Like, you know, Gage and I, freshman year in 2022, you know, he was kind of just my safety blanket. I'm like, oh, there's a guy rushing me. Where's Gage? I'm going to give him the ball. And, you know, he's still that guy. But I think the way that he's really been able to grow too as a receiver, as a football player, you know, he's a better route runner. He's got better hands. And he's gotten so quick too. Like the way that he gets out of his breaks and can accelerate after he catches the ball. And I mean, he's just a playmaker for sure. And then, you know, since then, obviously, we've had guys like Madden, guys like Brady, guys like Carson Albert last year. Yep. When Carter got hurt in fall camp. Carson stepped up and had a huge year for us last year. Because, you know, we weren't sure, you know, what we were going to do for the outside receiver. And, you know, even game one, Carson, first play of the game, I progressed back to him. He catches the ball over the middle, you know, gets hit. And, like, kind of after that, he was just in it. And, you know, all season long, he was a huge playmaker for us, too. And so, you know, being able to have that many guys, you know, if one guy maybe isn't having a good game, you know, they're double teaming one guy, you know, you can't double team everybody, which you kind of would have to do to stop all of our receivers. They're that good.
Right.
So, you know, it's a quarterback's dream for sure to be able to have those guys, you know, guys like Carter that I can, he's on the outside. You know, if I'm getting pressure, I'm just going to give him a shot at a 50-50 ball. Or a guy like Brady can do the same thing. And Brady, you know, he's kind of got a different skill set than everybody too. Like, you know, he can beat you deep, but he can get out of his breaks quicker than anybody I've seen, like coming back towards the ball and everything. Yeah. And Madden's huge too. And like, kind of just underneath pass game, he's really good at, you know, you get him the ball, he's going to be able to find a way to get yards after the catch too. Then obviously we got some of the young guys too, like you mentioned Kelly and Denzel. You know, Kelly's playing a couple games for us like over the past couple of years, and I think he's going to be a really big target for us this year too. And he's got his own skill set. Denzel's got his own thing. And so each guy, you know, they can make plays in different ways, and I think that's the biggest thing, because, you know, you can't take away all of them.
And, you know, to expand on that offense question, talk to me about the evolution of the offensive line, the guys that protect you, because you look down that line, Brooks O'Brien, been here for 4 years, Nick Haugrud, been here for 4 years, Brennan Selheim, Brady Olson. There's a lot of guys that have played a lot of snaps on the line and protecting you. I mean, what have you seen evolution-wise from them? Because it's obviously always a work in progress on the offensive line, and I think that if there's one position group that I can say they've improved the most, it seems like it's the offensive line to me. Where have you seen their improvement, and kind of what do you see from them coming up this season?
Yeah, I think so. Freshman year, we had, you know, guys like Brooks started some games. Owen Bartle, he'll play for us this year. He started some games, both as true freshmen. They came in my class. And so I think those guys, and then, you know, kind of throughout the years, just getting new guys in there, like Nick and Brady and Brennan in 2023, and then Manny Wilson last year as a true freshman too. I think just those guys have grown so much, you know, their football IQ, you know, kind of IDing blitzes and stuff. And they're like, you know, they're going to make sure they got me protected. And those guys, they've just matured and they've gotten so much better as football players and gotten so much smarter, so much stronger, and just in their technique and everything. And I think Coach Scott, the O-line coach, he's done a great job with them too. And he's really, you know, made them, you know, into the O-line that they are now. And I think it's definitely going to be a staple of our team because, you know, we've got a lot of guys on that O-line that have played a lot of ball for us and they've excelled, and I think they're going to continue to do that. But it's definitely been cool to see the way that they've grown. You know, pass protection, they've gotten, you know, so much better, and run blocking too. You know, we've been able to run the ball more than we have in the past, and I think it's just going to continue to get better.
Is that an element of the offense that we're going to see more of this year, you think, in the run game? I look at, you know, Tyson Brandt, Owen Wiersma, even Isaiah Favors, who's, you know, quick and shifty and can do different things than maybe some running backs that we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. Maybe almost like a Luke Indick type of player. I mean, is this the year where we maybe see a few more carries out of those guys, or is it just going to be more, you think, flex them out into the slot like you did with an Indick over the course of the season?
We'll kind of have to see. It depends a lot on how defense are going to play us. Like last year, you know, we got a lot of drop eight stuff, and so if they're going to keep doing that this year, I think we're going to be able to run the ball on some teams. You know, if they're going to go three down line, put four guys in the box, we should be able to just pound them with the run, and so hoping that can be a huge asset for us this year. I think we've had a lot of guys like Tyson Brandt, he's been doing a great job in fall camp, and he came back, you know, from a shoulder surgery. But he's stepped in. He's been. I mean, he just runs so hard. Yeah. We call him, he's like the Isaiah Pacheco of our team. Just the way that he gets the ball and he just takes off. He's always running hard, and he's gonna be big out of the back, like catching balls out of the backfield too. And yeah, you mentioned guys like Owen and Isaiah, and we've got a couple freshmen too that are probably gonna get some reps for us, and it's gonna be big.
Yeah. Couple more questions for you. I mean, what are some of your goals that you've set for yourself heading into your senior season? I mean, I don't know if it's statistical or what, or wins and losses or what it might be, but what are some of those kind of check marks that you've put on your board for this year?
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay away from like personal stats and everything. I think just more of a team from a team aspect. I want to see us, you know, stay with the process. I think, you know, you can get to focus on results too much, like how games are going maybe, but you know, if we have good process, if we just keep getting better every week, you know, got to play better than we did the previous week. If we keep doing that, I think we're going to be a good team. And so I think you know, it's hard to kind of, you know, judge certain things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's kind of just something that you can feel, you know, like you know, if you're playing better week in, week out, and I think that's something that's going to be really big for us. And I think the results will play from how well we handle the process.
Yeah. And maybe my last question for you is, you know, at the end of this year, you'll have 4 years of bodies of work to look at. What do you want your lasting impression to be on this place? I mean, is it, you know, I did what I could for my teammates? Is it this or that? Like, I don't know if I want to say, what do you want to be remembered for? Because I don't think anybody's going to forget Jack Strand at this place, right? But what are some things that you want to look back on at the end of your senior season and say, and things that you're proud of, and say, this is what I did, and I'm happy to tie a bow on this career in this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just, I want to be able to look back and say that I elevated the level of the program every day. You know, I left the place better than I came in. So if I can do that and I can look at it, you know, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, wins and losses or awards or anything. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of keep building the culture that we have here, and, you know, teaching the young guys, you know, what that looks like, and kind of like we mentioned before, you know, setting the standard for the young guys that they can keep building on what we've been able to do the last couple of years. I think if I can look back and say that I left the program in a better place than it started when I came in, I think that would be the most important thing to me.